This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد عباد الله اعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. First of all, I'm very happy being here in this part of the world for two good reasons. One, the weather is a little bit warmer than Canada. Canada, there's a lot of snow, and in the morning when you get up in most of Canada, you got to remove snow out of your car. The second reason, in this country, I look very tall. Everyone is short, mashallah. You know, my son, walillahi alhamd, my son is this tall. And he's only 18 years old, just turned 18. And I feel bad when I stand next to him because he always says, Daddy, why are you so short? Then I came here, and my self-esteem is back, mashallah, tabarakallah. As a matter of fact, I asked the brothers to take me to a basketball game so I can show off. Now, this is extension to what Sheikh Asim al-Hakim talked about. But I feel it's necessary, it's important for me to connect the two. I want to understand, I want you to understand the purpose of this talk from the point of view of the organizers and from my point of view as well. This is a very serious issue. What is the issue nowadays? The issue, we have a new generation, we have new enemies of Islam. We have people who are trying to undermine the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they're telling our children the university level, they're telling our children who are going to the internet, they're teaching our children that Quran is very crucial and very important, but the sunnah, it is not that important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he said, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, we have revealed the dhikr and we will protect it. So they said the dhikr that Allah is talking about is not included, the sunnah is not included. It's the Quran alone. Therefore, Allah has protected the Quran and no one can tamper with the Quran. No one can play with the Quran. No one can touch it. No one can change the wordings of the Quran. No one can delete one letter or add to the Quran one letter. However, the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we're not sure about it. We are not sure about it. Now, I want you to understand, you and I and the ulama of the past can never understand the Quran unless they have the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one can say, I can give you the tafsir of the Quran only by following the Quran by itself. There are different levels of tafsir of the Quran, for example. Quran will give a tafsir of another ayah. An ayah will give a tafsir of an ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when we ordered Malaika to prostrate to Adam, they prostrated. However, Iblis was with them. But the first ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah does not explain who was Iblis. But in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah said, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. He was indeed from the jinn who rebelled against his Lord. So here we understand the Quran ayah gave a tafsir of another ayah. Now what would happen if you don't have ayah that can give you tafsir of another ayah? We go to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what these people want to say is, we want to dismantle the sunnah completely. We want to follow our own understanding of this ayat and come to the conclusion that the tafsir of this ayah, based on my understanding, is this, and overlook the tafsir of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm sure Sheikh Asim, he mentioned in many similar ayat, we were commanded to follow the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Allah said in Ali Imran, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, I was sitting here and I was listening to the talk of Sheikh Asim, and I was like, did he really, you know, stole my talk? Because every hadith and every ayah that I wanted to mention to you, he already took it, tabarakallah. But I want to mention something. See, us, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we believe that he was guided by the revelation of Allah, by wahy. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Everything that he said, everything that he did related to this deen was a revelation from Allah. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys me, فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, he obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Sahih al-Bukhari wa Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال, كُلُّ أُمَّتِ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. Every single member of my ummah will enter paradise except those who refuse. They say, O Messenger of Allah, who will refuse to enter paradise? قَالَ مَنْ أَطَاعَنِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِ فَقَدْ أَبَى. Those who obey me will enter paradise, and those who disobey me will not enter paradise. I want to go over hadith that Sheikh Asim mentioned, and this is hadith al-Miqdad radiyallahu anhu. I want you to listen to this, and this is really a description of the people who nowadays is telling us, don't worry about the sunnah, let us just stick to the Quran. I repeat the hadith. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يوشك بالرجل. He said, it's about a man, a news will come to a man. مُتَّكِئًا عَلَىٰ أَرِيكَتِي. And I want you to pay attention. مُتَّكِئًا عَلَىٰ أَرِيكَتِي. This man, he is so comfortable. He already set a life, a certain life for himself. مُتَّكِئًا عَلَىٰ أَرِيكَتِي. He's reclining on his couch. He's sitting in a very comfortable position. He does not want any change. He wants to do a lot of things based on his own interpretation of the deen of Allah. And he knows if the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something against this, he will lose that status. So he says, the Messenger of Allah said, مُتَّكِئًا عَلَىٰ أَرِيكَتِي يُحَدَّثُ بِحَدِيثِ. Someone will come and say to him, Ya Akhi, the sunnah is against what you're doing. The sunnah is against what you're saying. The sunnah is for you not to wear long pants, because that's against the sunnah. The sunnah is not to shave your beard, for example. The sunnah is to trim your mustache. The sunnah is to clip your nails. This is the sunnah. But this man doesn't want to wear something short. He doesn't want to leave his beard. He doesn't want to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not because he considered it only sunnah, but he wants to eliminate. And this man says, فَيَقُولُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. He said, you and I, let us put the book of Allah as the final judge. Let us not worry about the sunnah. The Quran is in the word of Allah, yes. Is in the final revelation, yes. Then let us make the Quran the final judge. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the man will say, ما وجدناه فيه حلالا حللناه أو استحللناه. Whatever we find in the book of Allah is halal, we will follow it and take it as halal. وَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ حَرَامٍ حَرَّمْنَاهُ. And anything that is haram in the book of Allah alone, we will make it haram. Allah, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah, وَإِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam هُوَ مِثْلِ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. He said, indeed, what the Messenger of Allah made it haram is exactly as important as what the what Allah made it haram is haram is exactly as what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it haram. Now let us go back to history. I want you, brothers and sisters, salam alaikum. All right, you still, mashallah, with me. This issue, this topic, it's a university level. And I mean, the presentation of similar topics usually is not designed for conferences. It's designed for students of knowledge. Not that you're not students of knowledge, but I'm warning you here is a disclaimer. If you think it's too technical, it's because the subject was designed to be technical. So I want you to follow with me, because this is the history, how the hadith came about. First people who start writing a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not Bukhari, was not Tirmidhi, and was not An-Nasai. First group of people who start writing a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, I want you to pay attention here. However, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the Sahaba stage, so they can understand the deen better. Let me give you an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make the khamr haram at once. Am I right? First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْثِ. They're asking about alcohol and gambling. قُلْ فِيهِمَا. Tell them, O Muhammad, the Sahaba is asking you, Ya Rasulullah, What do you think about al-khamr, alcohol? What do you think about gambling? Allah said, tell them, Ya Muhammad, that's the first stage. Tell them, Ya Muhammad, in them there's evil and there's also benefit, and the evil outweighs the benefit. That's the first stage. Then later on, Allah comes and he said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. First stage, the Sahaba said, Subhanallah, there's big evil, there's a great evil. Let us desist, let us stop, let us move away from it. The second ayah, Allah said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. Do not come to salah while you're intoxicated, while you're high, while you're drunk. Don't come to salah. So what happened? The Sahaba said, okay, if I pray Fajr, if I want to pray Fajr, I cannot drink just before Fajr. And if I have to pray Dhuhr, I have to be sober before that. And if I have to pray Asr before that, and Maghrib before that, and Isha. So they limited how much they consume alcohol. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made al-khamr haram. Stage. Here also the sunnah, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم initially, he said to the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, do not write of me. Do not write. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, don't write for me, and whoever wrote anything for me, let him erase it. يقول في صحيح مسلم, لا تكتب عني. Do not write my hadith. Don't write my hadith. وَمَنْ كَتَبَ عَنِّي غَيْرَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلْيُمْحِي. If you have anything from my sunnah, from my words, if you wrote down anything, remove it. Just keep the Qur'an. Don't write anything. قَالَ وَحَدِّثُ عَنِّي وَلَا حَرَجْ. Narrate what I say, talk about what I say, and there is no harm. And then he said, وَمَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّ مَقْعَدُ مِنَ النَّارِ. And whoever lies about me, let him take his place in Jahannam. Now we understand here, the Messenger of Allah, he told the Sahaba, don't write the Sunnah, don't write the Hadith, just write the Quran. And they were in that situation for a certain period of time. Now after that, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he started allowing the Sahaba to write the Sunnah. Why? Now he felt secure that now they can differentiate between the Quran and the Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they grew. Now, Abu Huraira said, I want to give a choice. How many of you know the name of Abu Huraira? How many of you, raise your hand if you know the name of Abu Huraira. What was his name? Was it Abdullah or Abdurrahman? Abdurrahman bin Sakhr al-Dawsi. Now Abu Huraira, I'm just making sure you guys are still awake. Abu Huraira, he used to say, no one had a hadith more than I, except Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَكْتُبْ وَكُنْتُ لَا أَكْتُبْ. He say at the beginning, he used to write, and I never used to write. He used to write. So the Messenger of Allah allowed the Sahaba to write the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, he said, I used to go to the Messenger of Allah and write everything that he says. If he sneezes and he covers his mouth, I will say the Messenger of Allah sneezed and he covered his mouth. If a delegation come and they address the Messenger of Allah a certain way, he will report. A delegation came and did this. And then men from the Quraysh came to the Messenger, to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, فَقَالُوا لَا تَكْتُبْ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Do not report everything that the Messenger of Allah says, because sometimes he's angry, sometimes he's mad, sometimes he's sad, sometimes he's happy. Don't write everything. قَالَ فَأَمْسَكْتُ عَنْ الْكِتَابَةِ ثَلَاثِ. For 3 days I did not write. Then he came to the Messenger of Allah. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah, I used to write your hadith, but men from my tribe told me not to write. What should I do? Qala, then the face of the Messenger of Allah became red, and he said, "Uktub ibn Amr ibn As, for wallahi la yaqulu illa haqqa." He said, the Messenger of Allah pointed to his tongue, and he said, write everything that I say. Indeed, this tongue only says the truth, nothing else. So some of the Sahaba used to write. Now I want to ask you, inshallah, the Sahaba who used to write from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who used to have their own suhuf, their own books. First of them was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he wrote from the Messenger of Allah, and his sahifa used to be known Sahifat al-Fara'id wa-Sadaqah. Fara'id was sadaqah. So his book, he will write anything that has to do with fara'id and has to do with sadaqah. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq will write it down on his book. Also, Ali ibn Abi Talib used to have a hadith book of a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As used to do the same thing. And Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As used to have a sahifa known, sahifa as-sadiqah, the truthful scrolls. Now, that was the first generation. The Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to write a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, ya ibadallah, the tabi'een, the students of the Sahaba, start writing a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason that they became very concerned about writing a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were four. I want you to write them down. First, there were too many ahadith roaming around with the long isnad, not knowing exact source of the hadith. Too many ahadith roaming around. This hadith has that number of narrators. This hadith has a shorter narration and so on. Second, a lot of huffaz of hadith. See, the Arab nation, at that time, they used to rely on their memory. So a lot of huffaz passed away, died. So alim who had memorized the hadith, he used to die and he would not have anyone would follow his path. Third, the memorization skills became weak on the second generation in comparison to the first generation. Likewise, right now, how many of you memorized 20 phone numbers? How many of you? 20 numbers. No one. Not even miskin. No one. See, before the phone with smartphone, we used to memorize every single number. Am I right? Now we rely on, you know, what's your name, Saeed? What's your number? MashaAllah. We don't rely on memorization. Before, people used to tell us numbers and we used to memorize them. This is the same thing. Before, people used to rely on a memory, then they start relying on writing. So that was another reason. Also, the fourth thing, a lot of innovations spread. Everybody would say, oh, hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such and such. And the people start adding, fabricating a hadith. Like one of the people who fabricated hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his little boy coming back crying to him, he said, what happened to you? He said, the Quran teacher beat me up. So this man, he went to the Quran teacher and he said, I have heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, shirarukum, ma'allimi subyanikum. He say, I have heard hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the worst of you are those who teach your children. He just made up. So the ulama of that time didn't know who to trust. So they had to write the hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the tabi'een who wrote the hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, write them down. The first one was Sahifat Sa'id bin Jubair. I want to see a hand if you know Sa'id bin Jubair. Who knows Sa'id bin Jubair? Sa'id bin Jubair, nobody. Sa'id bin Jubair was a student of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. He was one man. You all know Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Hajjaj bin Yusuf used to kill the ulama, used to kill the people. Anyone who opposes the government, he used to kill them. But Sa'id bin Jubair was the last man that he killed. Because Sa'id bin Jubair made dua and he said, Ya Allah, do not allow this man to kill anyone else. So the first tabi'i who wrote a hadith, Abdullah ibn Abbas, was Sa'id bin Jubair. Second was Mujahid al-Makki, was a student of Abdullah ibn Abbas as well. Third was Abu Ayyub, rahimahullah, was also one of the students of the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hisham bin Urwa was also another one, and so on. All of these individuals, they used to write a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam independently without any commission from the state or the government. However, the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Umar bin Abdul Aziz was born 61 Hijri and he died 101 Hijri. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he became Amir al-Mu'mineen. When he became Amir al-Mu'mineen, he realized the hadith, people losing a hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he commissioned, this is a state order, he commissioned this man, رضي رحمه الله, Abu Bakr bin Hazm. Abu Bakr bin Hazm was the governor for Umar bin Abdul Aziz in Medina. Amir Umar bin Abdul Aziz, Amir al-Mu'mineen, his governor in the city of Medina is Abu Bakr bin Hazm, who is from the Ansar min Bani Najjar. Abu Bakr bin Hazm, kama qala Imam Malik, was a judge, was a wali, and was a alim of the ulama of Ummah. Here, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he issued a royal decree and he said, you must write down a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here was the beginning of putting a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together in books, Now, here, some of the other ulama, rahimahumullah, they said, like Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, he said, Amarana Umar bin Abdul Aziz bi jami'i sunan. He said, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he ordered us to compile the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Daftaran daftara, booklet by booklet. And then those booklets were sent to different parts of Islamic State so the Muslims would know the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will continue, inshallah. Now, the next generation, which is the second generation of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was from the young tabi'een to the old tabi'een, they start writing the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam extensively. Every alim will write the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will put them in a book. Now, the difference was, before they used to collect only a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without organizing them. But this generation, they had to organize a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in form of sunnah. I don't want to overkill you with information, but at this time there was something that's called al-musannafat, musannaf. Musannaf means someone who compiled the ilm, the fatawa of the sahaba, the fatawa of the ulama, a hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they put them in a large books. I want to go some of the books that we have. We have some of the books, the most famous book, or the first one who write a musannaf was an alim by the name Muhammad bin Abu Muhammad Abdul Malik bin Abdul Aziz, who died 150 Hijri. I know to a lot of you is like, this is boring. You know, why do we have to know this? This is your deen. This is your deen. And this is how these Quraniyin and others, how they attack us, because you and I really don't have much of knowledge of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To come, I know the time is running, to come to the conclusion of this, by the third generation, this was known Al-Asr al-Dhahabi, the golden age of science of hadith. This is the time that ulama Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, all of these imams that we read about them, this was the century that they really excelled. These ulama, they were two parts. Ulama who were mostly concerned about the isnad of the hadith, which means the chain of narrators, like Yahya bin Ma'in. And there was ulama who are concerned about the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was a small number of ulama who specialized both in the matn and in the isnad, the chain of narrators, and the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those were like Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and the most known alim of that is Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah. Now at this stage, this particular stage, the ulama of at that time, they have to clarify and filter a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were divided, or they came with the three different way of classifying a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First, classifying hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam based on the authenticity of the hadith. See, a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are mainly two categories, sahih and saqim. Sahih, which means authentic, and saqim means weak. Sahih, and this is a little bit condensed, sahih, it goes in a different level. Known, al-muthaf, sahih al-muthaf bil-qara'in, sahih li-dhati, sahih li-ghayri. Three different categories of sahih. In terms of da'if, there are so many of them. Al-maqtu'a, al-munqati'a, al-muda'af, and so on, all of them. But at this time, the sahaba of the tabi'in and the ulama of hadith wanted to classify the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that category. The second, they put all the hadith sahih in one area and all the hadith that are not reliable in another area. The third, they put the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a statement of the sahaba and the tabi'in in one category. And this is what they call al-musannafat, and they call al-sunan wal-jawami'. It's very difficult to talk about, you know, a condensed course in a lecture form, but bear with me bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the ulama that we know today, they specialize in books called Al-Jawami'. Al-Jami' is a book that has almost every chapter of the Sharia. It has fiqh, it has ahkam, it has fada'il, it has every seerah, it has tafsir, it has everything. Like Sahih al-Bukhari, like Sahih al-Muslim. Now Sahih al-Bukhari, it is indeed the most reliable book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Bukhari, he compiled this hadith, and his condition was only authentic hadith should be added to his book. Imam al-Bukhari, who died 256 Hijri, he successfully was able to accomplish this mission by putting a hadith that is only authentic for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second Imam who followed his methodology was Imam Muslim bin Hajjaj bin Muslim. Imam Muslim, he followed the way of Imam al-Bukhari. However, Imam Muslim was a little bit soft in categorizing people and authenticating the people of the chain. The people of the chain. The third jami' that we have is Jami' al-Sahih li Imam al-Tirmidhi. Now Imam al-Tirmidhi, even though he said his book is sahih, but it also have a hadith that is authentic, 100% sahih, and he had a hadith that is not authentic. So this is called Jawami'. The other type of books that the ulama rahimahumullah put together in this as a form of sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as sunan. Like Sunan Abi Dawood, Sunan al-Nasa'i, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sunan ibn Majah, and so on. And these books that's based on issues of fiqh. Everything in this Sunan is based on ahkam al-Sharia, starting with the Tahara, starting with the Miyah, starting with Al-Aniyah, and so on. Now, the third category we call al-masanid, which means al-musnad. We have musnad means the ulama. They said, we want to know how many ahadith indeed Abu Hurairah narrated. So they collect all the ahadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, and they put it in one area. How many ahadith Umar ibn Khattab narrated? They collect all the ahadith of Umar ibn Khattab, and they put it in one category. They did not care if this hadith is talking about fiqh, and the next hadith is talking about jihad, and the third hadith is talking about, you know, raqa'iq, and the fourth hadith is talking about qiyamah. They did not care. This is called in al-masanid. Musnad Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is one of the most famous masanid that we know. But they also, Musnad Humaydi, Musnad al-Tiyali, and so many other ahadith al-masanid that we have. I know, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is extremely to digest and understand a whole history of the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in 45 minutes. And any speaker who tells you, he can tell you everything about the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who struggle to save it for us will not be able to tell you full truth. But I can say this in conclusion. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved his deen by preserving the book of Allah and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah chose certain nations, certain group to preserve the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the ulama brought all the sunnah together, then Allah assigned another group to filter the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look, Imam al-Dhahabi came way after Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam. But what did he do? He went back to the work that they did. And he worked on the work that they did and he filtered them. And he said, these ahadith that has been narrated by Sunan al-Tirmidhi are not authentic. And this ahadith that has been narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi, they are authentic. And they classify ahadith like that. And then after that, Imam al-Hajj al-Asqalani. After that, you have Sheikh Ahmed Shakir, Sheikh al-Albani of our time. And all of these ulama, their effort and their job was to make sure the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached us pure and tempered with, clear as the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it at the beginning. Now you may ask yourself, we had ulama of the past who did all the work. What can I do for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can I serve the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The best way of serving the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is you and I teach the sunnah of Rasulullah to the rest of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi. See, you and I cannot go and critique the work of Imam al-Bukhari. You and I cannot go and say we're going to correct al-Dhahabi or correct Ahmed Shakir or correct Sheikh al-Albani. We're not that level, and I doubt most of us who are sitting here would not have that capacity or opportunity. Because the ulama of hadith are ulama who really devoted themselves and their lives to serve the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So your job, what you and I can do, is to spread the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Malaysia, in this beautiful country, I have seen a lot of nice sunnah, mashallah, tabarakallah. But I also have seen funny sunnahs as well. I have seen sunnah. This is the first time that I've seen hijabi with t-shirt. I don't know what that sunnah is, but I could not find in the sunnah of Kitab al-Bukhari or Muslim. A sister cannot wear hijab and wear t-shirt at the same time. That is not sunnah. As a matter of fact, I don't know what kind of sunnah is, but that is. But you and I can teach these sisters This is not the deen of Allah. This is not the deen that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam left us to carry it on and to deliver to the rest of the nations, to the rest of the world. You and I can teach that hijab over women should not be tight. Some of the sisters, mashallah, sometimes you wonder how she put that jeans on. How she put this outfit on. You and I can teach that the sunnah of men's outfit is exactly the same sunnah of women's outfit in terms of being baggy, in terms of not being tight, showing. It's not only that women should wear something baggy, men also have to wear something baggy. That's a sunnah. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is all of us to show it. Grow your beard. I know most of the Malaysians don't have beard, but alhamdulillah. I don't have beard either. But I'll tell you, brothers, Ahl Jannah, they don't have beard. So most of you, maybe you are ready for Jannah, inshallah. So the sunnah is, if Allah gave you a little bit like Brother Saeed, keep it. If Allah gave you a big, long beard, brother, keep it. That's the sunnah. You know, I wish if I had long beard. Wallahi, I wish. Yeah, I wish if I have a beard that when I'm washing my dishes, I can put it right here, mashallah. You know, and wash the dish. I wish, wallahi, when I'm riding my bike, my sunnah will fly, when my beard will fly by me, it will be my cape. But I can't. I have a little beard. And subhanAllah, a lot of people think I shave, but I don't. I remember once, one of the brothers said, Sheikh Saeed, I love you so much. I said, Jazakallah khair. He said, I even wear your hat, the same hat that you always wear. I said, mashallah. And I wear your thobes, exactly the same white thobes. I said, alhamdulillah. And I shave my beard just like you, Sheikh Saeed. I said, akhi, I don't have beard. I just have, you know, my daughter, one of my kids, he said, Daddy, let me count how many hairs you have on your chin. And she did count. It was only 47 hairs. Not many. So what I'm saying to you, the sunnah, show the sunnah. Let the people see the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when people see the sunnah, then they will be encouraged. And I'm not only talking about the sunnah of external part of your body, but also the internal, the spiritual sunnah, which will be our next topic, bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.